Broadcasting live from my mom's basement and wherever Scott is located during this wonderful quarantine. I'm Scott Edwards. He's Scott Neville. And this is Around the Diamond. Nailed it.
Nailed it. Is that your real run or is that a dry run?
That is my real run. I have no excitement in me today. I'm sorry.
That's what you're going to give me? That's the best you can do?
I'm sorry. Have you not been quarantined for a week?
Yeah, I have. I can bring a little bit more than that, you know?
Fine. We'll redo. Here we go. Broadcasting live from my mom's basement and wherever Scott is, I'm Scott Edwards. He's Scott Neville. And this is Around the Diamond. Better.
All right. That's a little bit better. That's what I like to hear.
That's what we call pepping the step.
That's what we call faking it till you make it.
You goddamn right.
So, let's talk about what everybody wants to talk about, which is Jared Stidham.
That was, nope. But yes, we have
to. I want to start a new segment.
Oh God.
Oh. I've heard the name Jared Studham be thrown around. And it's very fair that we don't really know what Jared Stidham is at right now. So I think we should do a reoccurring segment called Stidham or Studham.
Stidham or Studham.
So, you know, he has a great week against the Dolphins. I was like, what do you think?
More like Stidham or Studham.
Oh, okay. All right. I like it. I like that better.
Thank you. Thought of it just now.
That was terrible, but also, like, perfect for this.
I like it.
And then, like, if he's, like, 15 for 23 with 200 yards, no touchdowns, no picks, he'll just be Stidham.
We'll just call him Jimmy for Garoppolo.
It'd just be Jared Stidham. Yo, Jimmy Stidham.
Jimmy Stidham. I like that better.
All right. So, Stidham or Studham or Hoyer, because we don't know.
Yeah, we'll take Hoyer's name out when we know.
Oh, by the way, the Patriots, for the third time, we get to say that the Patriots now have Brian Hoyer.
But even worse, there's a chance he starts this time.
Yeah, I'm gonna go into a whole thing about Stidham in a second.
Gonna go into a whole thing about Brian Hoyer?
No, I'm certainly not. What I want to ask you is if I set the over under at 10.5 games for Jared Stidham starts, what would you say?
I'd say over. He gets 12.
I like that. I like the optimism.
I feel like Brian Hoyer has a good four-game mess-up in there. Like,
That's where we differ. I think Hoyer can screw this thing up in about three quarters.
Oh, that's agreeable.
So, that's where I'm at.
He's not a guy that makes mistakes.
I disagree if you look at his interception numbers.
I mean, if you look at his numbers at all, they're not good.
Yeah, but hey, he knows the system, right?
Exactly.
He knows the system, so
I forgot he was on Arizona.
I didn't even know he was on Arizona.
Remember that year people thought he was good in Cleveland, but he actually wasn't?
He was a starter.
Yeah, he went 3-0.
He is a you know,
in Cleveland.
A legitimate part of that jersey with like 20 quarterback names that they had there for a while.
But did you hear that sentence?
Yeah, 3-0.
In Cleveland?
Yeah.
They had 4 wins that year.
I mean, good for him.
If you're wondering, which I know you are, that was the Josh Gordon year.
That helps.
Yeah, big time. Big time. If you can name their second leading receiver, I will give you $20.
What year is this?
2012 and 13.
13 was a year went off. The second receiver behind, I mean, dude,
second
I don't even.
Leading receiver.
Is it Hawkins?
No, sorry. It was Jordan Cameron, tight end.
Oh, my God. Cameron.
Also pretty filthy.
I totally forgot about him. He was nasty that year.
This man had 80 catches for 917 yards and 7 touchdowns.
Wow.
And he was never good again.
Well, that's because he signed with the Dolphins.
Hey.
Okay.
That was also the same year that Trent Richardson was traded. All right, moving on. Stidham.
So, you know, it's come to the light of Patriots fans that it looks like Stidham's what we're doing here. There's talk about, you know, Cam Newton's out there. There's a bunch of guys out there that we'll talk about, and there was a bunch of guys out there. This is like the most quarterbacks that have ever been available, or at least serviceable ones. And then but it seems like the Patriots are just, we're just going to go with Stidham and Hoyer. That's what we want to do. So, you know, a lot of people are right off the bat. We're like, we're not going to go with Stidham, are we? Like, he's a backup quarterback, but he was only a backup quarterback because he played behind Tom Brady. So that doesn't seem.
To be fair, I think he would have, like, if he got drafted by the Dolphins, he probably would have been not the starter week one.
The Dolphins.
Literally any team. The Dolphins was the worst choice.
We're not talking about week one, but, like, I think he goes out to Oakland, he might get a fair share. He might get six
games. Absolutely not. Give me Derek Carr all day.
I'm not saying what you would do, but Gruden, not a fan of Derek Carr.
Yeah, yeah. You know who he should trade for? Matt Stafford, because I want the Patriots to trade for Matt Stafford.
Oh, you know who we would have started some games for this year?
Last year? The Lions.
I was going to say the Bengals.
Oh, well, the Lions would have been fair, too, because David Blah started.
Yeah, but that was an injury thing. The Bengals benched Andy Dalton, and Ryan Finley is no better than Jared Stidham.
That's a good point. At least I sure hope. That's a good point. I mean, if he is, then we're in trouble.
Yeah, we sure are. So I was watching some college film, actually a substantial amount of college film on Stidham, because I was like, this is our guy. I'm going to write about how I feel about Stidham once I have more of a full take, even though I feel pretty comfortable after watching way too many 2017, 2018 SEC football games. Although I'm not going to lie, I kind of loved it given the situation. So, I had some notes. I also watched his preseason, by the way, which is, you know, because, well, the first thing I'll say is that, like, Devin McCourty had a lot of high praise for him, and we don't get to see all the progress he made playing as a scout team quarterback against an elite defense this year, and also playing behind Belichick and Brady. We don't know, like, what he learned this year. So that's, first of all, he could be way ahead of where I'm looking at. I'm looking at his last 2 years of college football. And you're right, Cody Kessler. Okay. I forgot he was a quarterback, but I don't think he's going to get a start. Stidham, here's the thing. He had some weird – watching him play is weird because, first of all, Auburn loves screens. I did not, like – I've watched – plenty of SEC football, but I don't go into an Auburn game being like, well, here's the screen. These are the screen guys right here. But, man, did they throw a lot of screens with Jared Stidham. And that was super annoying to watch because it was just kind of like, okay, well, he can throw it sideways, but can he move the ball down the field and like, throw it in coverage? So I will say I did like, you know how McDaniels throws a lot of screens out there. He throws a lot of trick plays and not really like – not like Wildcat stuff, but they'll throw the flea flickers and stuff like that. And that was – I found that very similar to what the Patriots are doing. So I do think that the play calling and the system that he's under was pretty similar to Auburn's, just obviously ours is much more enhanced. So that was a pro. I don't think the adjustment will be a big deal for him. One thing I'll say that goes in his – I don't want to say his pro column, but like his not his fault when I was watching some of these games is – because granted, I mean, this is a kid that played Clemson. He played Bama three times in his last 2 years, and not easy for him with – his, you know what his number one option was in the receiving game?
I do not.
Darius Slayton of the Giants.
He's filthy.
Okay.
Very good season last year.
Yeah, he's a solid. He'll be a four on a solid team.
I think you're being very rude to Darius Slayton.
You think so?
Yeah. Like, what did 48 catches, 740 yards, and 8 touchdowns.
I gotta say, that's surprising to me. I'm not gonna lie.
I don't think he really played much the first few games.
Yeah, he definitely didn't play
much. I mean, I do understand the comparison. Yes, it's not great because
I gotta say that I'm rising on Darius Slayton and falling a little on Stidham based on those numbers. I didn't realize that.
That was the plan there.
Yeah, but he also had Kerryon Johnson, who I love.
I used to love him.
Yeah. So my thing is, he didn't have a ton of weapons. There was a lot of excuses. I didn't love the. I mean, I like I said, the style of offense and the play calling will make for an easy adjustment to the Patriots, but I didn't like their play calling, if that makes sense.
That's like, fair.
He got plenty of experience throwing the screens, throwing the quick, getting the ball out, which is what Tom Brady was known for, or one of the 100 things Brady was known for. But they seemed to just kind of, you know, when they were playing someone like Bama, who they knew they couldn't beat their coverage, they just kind of threw, like, wheel routes and screens, like, 30 times, and they would pick up, like, 5-6 yards and then get absolutely lit up when Tua throws 5 touchdowns. But he actually did beat Bama 2 years ago. That's cool.
Did he?
Like that? Yeah.
That's a stat.
That's cool, huh? Right?
It's fine.
Yeah.
Oh! Sorry. I have news, baseball news when you're ready.
Is it about the Red Sox?
No, it's about the MLB season.
Okay, we'll do that later.
Yeah.
Downsides for Stidham? I would say, and I'd like you to chime in, by the way.
I got the first one.
Fine?
The first thing on Jarrett Stidham.
Okay, you jumping around. Okay, yeah, I got you now.
Which is a bad thing.
Okay.
He's not Tom Brady.
He's definitely not.
Much like Alex Verdugo is not Mookie Betts. Continue.
So, I felt, and this is something that was, so Devin McCourty said he liked his poise, Jarrett Stidham's poise. I think that was because he was running scout defense, and he can't actually get hit in that situation. But my two cons that I have, the first two, is that he has no poise, and he doesn't trust his protection. And I think that's very similar. I shouldn't say no poise. At times, he, you know, there were times where he would have a 3-man rush against 5 linemen doing their job, and he would just scramble out of the pocket and throw it all wherever he wanted or throw it away. He does throw the ball away regularly, which I actually like Tom Brady does that, and that's something that not a lot of people do because they just try and, you know, go for the interception record that Winston has so confidently taken. But what?
You say Jameis Winston has the interception record?
I mean, like, the season. I mean, not, like,
ever. He does not have the most in a season.
Last season, he did.
No, he did not. George Blanda had 42.
I'm saying, in 2019, he had the most interceptions.
Oh, that's my bad.
Yeah. Okay. But anyway, which, by the way, I think he could get the – I think he could lead the league next year, too, even if he doesn't get a starting role. He'll find a way. But he's pretty safe with the ball, which I like. He'll throw the ball away. But it seems like he dumps them off sometimes for no reason because he puts a clock on where he'll run out of the pocket for no reason. And I just think he needs to, like, trust his linemen a little bit more because they really weren't bad. I mean – granted, he played Alabama 3 times and Clemson once. Those games were a little different. That's scary because, you know, you're dealing with 3-4 first-round D linemen up in your grill, and his Auburn linemen, they might have had a first-rounder in there, but they weren't 5 deep. And so I didn't like how he was moving around all the time. And the other thing is he leans on his athleticism a little too much. There was a lot of times where, like I said, where he was rolling out of the pocket where if there was nobody, he would try and run around the tackle, and he would end up just getting trapped and go down after like a yard. He kept trying to roll out and head down, run, and he just wasn't fast enough to do that in the SEC. Which means in the NFL, it's going to be even worse for him. Now, he is a pretty good runner in the sense of, design runs, scrambles when he needs to, if it's like third and six or something. He's pretty fast. It's just that he always tried to – he had bad angles when he would try and just – he would try and get to the edge, and he's not, you know, an elite running back that can just get to the edge. And so I didn't like that, and he preferred that sometimes over dumping it off, and that was kind of annoying to watch. But all around, kind of inconsistent play. I think he could develop. Obviously, Belichick's going to help a lot, but, I mean, his college performance kind of all over the place. I do believe that he could be solid. I'm excited for him. I wouldn't be upset if we drafted Jordan Love, but – you know, I'd take him over like a mid-round guy next year.
Did you say you were excited for him?
I mean, like, I'm excited for the kind of the unknown type deal.
I respect that. Not excited, but I respect that.
Well, it's one of those things where I'm not going in with any team expectations, really. So I kind of just want to see what he can do.
I would like to tank for Trevor.
I don't think – I've heard this, and that obviously is the smartest play we could have, but watching an 0-16 season, I don't know if I could do that.
Hey, we could go 2-14.
That's true.
We could. I mean, I'm not saying we have to, but we
I just – I mean, people throw that out there, but I think the last thing Bill would be willing to do is have a season like that.
Did you see the Deshaun Watson trade rumors this week?
Well, that's because he liked a tweet about the Patriots.
Yeah, I don't understand why liking a tweet automatically makes it like, hey, he's coming. Like, what? I know Bill O'Brien's not the best coach, but...
Well, we could probably get him for a third rounder.
And Jared Stidham. Ah, no. Sounds like a deal.
We could give him Hoyer, probably.
Former Houston Texan great, actually.
Cody Kessler, maybe?
I can't believe we still have him rostered on our team.
Stanford guy? Kessler?
I couldn't tell you. I didn't know who Cody Kessler was until he randomly started a game for the Browns, didn't look terrible, then got benched.
Boy. What do we got here? Oh, USC. I got the colors confused, but I did watch him in college.
Was he good?
He was a game manager.
Oh, great. I'm sick of game managers.
We're never going to see Cody Kessler, hopefully.
Don't tempt anyone, because we don't know. We don't know what we're going to see next week.
I confuse him from someone from Stanford.
I don't know who. Andrew Luck. All right, cool. Steven Gostkowski was released.
Kevin Hogan, I believe his name was.
Kevin Hogan also played for the Browns, so that's fair.
That's what it was. Yep, it was definitely him.
So, Steven Gostkowski got released.
Yeah, that's big news. I don't really get it.
Yeah, a lot of confusion. We currently don't have a kicker.
So, here's the thing. I thought what we were doing was cutting him because of his cap hit and then maybe bringing him back on less money, kind of like a deal restructuring of sorts. But then Bill gave like a goodbye thing like he did with Brady. And I was like, "Whoa, this is over." I didn't realize that he's never going to get a chance to play for us ever again.
Did you hear that sentence?
That I said? Yeah, I heard my own sentence.
Yeah, like Brady.
Well, you know how he is about like special teams and the small stuff.
I know. I'm just saying, like, didn't need to give Steven Gostkowski a goodbye message.
Yeah, no, that's what I was saying. More of like the, wow, this is like absolutely over. I didn't realize. I don't understand. He must have, I mean, a video must have like gotten to Bill of him kicking a ball like not able to reach like 10 feet. Like, why do you not, why don't you give him a chance in camp at least? I understand the contract situation, but you would think that would be a restructure thing. Bill could easily be like, hey, we're going to have to make this $2 million and you're not going to be a Patriot. I mean, I'm just – unless what happened is Bill said that and then Gostkowski was like, no, I'm not taking a pay cut, and then he wants to, you know, try and go out elsewhere and make money, which, I mean, I'm sure the Bears have, you know, $5 to $10 million pulled aside for a potential kicker.
I got a little percentage game for you. What is the percentage that, first of all, the Patriots draft a kicker?
like this year?
Yeah.
I would honestly, where we have 12 picks and I believe 3 6-rounders, I would say like 80%.
And will it be Rodrigo Blankenship?
I sure hope so. Although I don't know that I do love the look and everything. I don't really know if he's the best kicker in the draft.
He is the highest ranked kicker in the draft, technically.
I know he's the, yes, but if not you remember.
That means anything.
Yeah. Who's the guy that got drafted second round by the Bucks recently?
Roberto Aguayo?
Yeah.
He was terrible.
I'll never trust kicking ratings ever again, which that blows my mind because I don't understand. That should be the easiest position to scout in the world.
We could also just sign Greg Zuerlein.
Yeah, he's out there somehow.
He also kicked 79% this year.
Yeah.
Not great.
But he's the thing is about a guy like that is when you watch him kick, you're not as scared as, I don't know, Mike Nugent.
Nick Folk.
Mike Nugent kicks a ball in a manner of like the way it like moves is like the equivalent of a quarterback not throwing spirals. And it's like you watch a JV kicker from any high school and you're like, that ball is moving the way it's supposed to. They might not have the leg, but like when they kick an extra point, it's turning over the way it's supposed to. When you Nugent just hits line drives that just squib in there, and they just and the other thing is like he kicks it and it rockets, so it's either a screwball or a curveball, and it just like flies. You know what I mean?
So like what you're saying is you expect, hear me out. You expect the kicker for the New England Patriots to also be Jarrett Stidham.
I don't even think I implied that loosely.
I didn't hear a no. All right, awesome. I don't like that the end, like this is becoming like I'm more shocked now that Devin McCourty's back. We're just getting rid of all these guys. Like, what's happening?
Yeah, it seemed like when we brought him back we had a plan and then it just and then everything else happened.
Then everything went to shit. But you know who we still do have? The longest tenured Patriot on the team. Matt Slater.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, yes, I would like it to be Brady, but like if I had to pick a guy that wasn't Brady to be the longest tenured guy, pumped it's Matt Slater.
I love Matt Slater.
Matt Slater's the best special teamer of all time. I can't even say that's a hot take because I don't think it is.
Trying to think of like, well, I mean, technically, like Vinatieri is a special teamer, but
best
gunner of all time.
Oh, absolutely, Hall of Fame. Okay, moving on to baseball because
wait,
I can't. What?
Quickly, what do you think of Stidham?
Oh, what do I think of Stidham?
Like, honestly,
I think he can be a game manager at best.
Okay.
Which is like an Alex Smith. Something around those lines. Not terrible.
I was going to say peak of his career.
Peak of his career, Jimmy Garoppolo.
I was literally about to say peak of his career. Do you think he could beat Jimmy Garoppolo?
Absolutely. Okay. Which is not a bad thing. That's a Super Bowl.
Well, it's a Super Bowl appearance.
Better than me saying Andy Dalton.
I'm just saying if Jimmy G. Well, actually, I think Andy Dalton's peak is much better than Jimmy G's peak. It's just the team. Think about if you threw 2015 Andy Dalton on that 49ers team. I mean, that's
still
much better.
Not winning, but I agree.
Here's the thing. Jimmy G was one throw away from winning that Super Bowl. And,
I mean, we
and
can't
I, honestly,
we can't act like Andy Dalton would have just like had the gall to hit that throw.
I honestly think he would have.
Would have been interesting. Imagine
it
just
wasn't
like
a crazy throw.
Number
it just was a choke job.
I mean, Tom Brady would hit that throw.
Oh, he sure would.
Tom Brady also probably wouldn't have been in that situation. He probably would have had to be coming back, and it would have been back and forth. I don't know. Just Patriots Super Bowls are weird. Always
they're
weird.
Awesome.
They're terrifying as well.
Yeah, they were awesome. We're done with those Super Bowl things now. We're sick of them. Honestly, we got in a life's worth. I mean, how many people in a 100-year span can – I mean, the Patriots and Steelers are the only ones that have six, right?
Correct. We are tied.
And we watched them all before, I mean, before I could legally drink.
Let me give you a good question. When's the next time you think a Boston team will win a championship?
The 2021 Red Sox will win a championship.
Jesus, that's such a hot take. That is the hottest take I could have heard. There's no hope for next year now with Chris Sale being dead.
Well, Chris Sale will come back in July, and Mookie Betts is going to come back. If he gets
the surgery.
Mookie Betts, oh my God, we got to get into that.
Yep, that was the plan. Haha, transition, make you scared and sad and upset.
We got plenty of that going on right now. That's the least we need.
Oh, yeah, I know the whole thing on social media is like, hey, let's pick each other up right now. No, that's not happening on the show because there's nothing good going on in sports for any of us.
The Bucks are probably pretty amped right now, actually.
Who?
The Bucks.
Why?
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh, I was thinking the Milwaukee Bucks.
Uh-oh.
Because they're actually named the Bucks.
True.
So that's not really my bad, but I should have known.
Yeah, no, that's one of those just miscommunications, not really either one's fault.
They're definitely pumped. Like, if I was a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan, which I am, not really, but if I was, I'd be amped. Oh, I sure am. Until Tom Brady's gone, then see you later, Bucks. Yep. So let's move on to the baseball. Yes? Yes.
Sure.
You want the news of the today before we move on to our friend Chris Sale?
Yeah, let's hear it.
So Rob Manfred has officially announced that the Red Sox investigation is completed. However, he's not letting us know yet.
I just don't get that.
Like, what? Like, what does that mean?
He basically was just like, like a teacher just being like, yeah, so I have all your essays graded. I'm going to sit on them for a couple of weeks. I'll let you know. All the grades are in. However, I'm not going to give them to you. They're right here in this folder. I'll see you guys next Tuesday.
That's like your friend telling you, yeah, I got a secret I really need to tell you, but we're going to wait a few days.
Yeah.
Like, what? What? You need to tell me. No, we're going to wait. Just going to wait. Huh? Okay. This was an interesting little thing, though, of also what he announced tonight, which was he has confirmed that a 162-game season will not be happening this season.
I could have confirmed that.
However, this is the interesting one. 7-inning doubleheaders have been discussed as a strong possibility.
Now that just
was something.
Can't do that. And let me tell you,
I'm not a fan of it either.
Here's the thing. There are teams and I'm fine with this specific team taking a disadvantage, but there are teams like the Yankees who are built around their bullpen. And I feel like you can't just do that. And now there would still be a strategy of like maybe a starter goes 4 and then you go to your bullpen and that's just your strategy. But if you're doing doubleheaders every day, those guys are going to get over. You're just changing the game too much for that to be a fair. But I don't know. The whole thing, no matter what they end up doing, if they don't get 162 in or even like maybe like I feel like you'd need like 140 for it to be considered like a real championship. Like, no matter what, that team's gonna have an asterisk.
So they have missed 2 seasons before. I mean 2 months before in the season. When they they had a lockout 1 year.
What year was that? That was Jerry Remy, right?
It was I literally looked at it today. 1970.
Yeah, Remy was involved.
4, I wanna say. It's my bad that I didn't have that locked and loaded. 1981, which canceled a total of 713 baseball games.
Do you know how many, like, games that, like, what was the schedule? Like, 128-game season? Or, like, just
38% of the major league season.
Okay. So,
I don't got much for you. It was a split season format.
This says 61 games would be 38% of 162.
There you go.
So,
around
99
that.
Game season?
Pretty much.
What did it say, 100?
Yeah, they played 100 games or so.
Would you, if they played 100 games and the Red Sox won, would you, like, feel good about that?
Yeah.
Okay, what if the Yankees won? Would you not discredit that?
No, it's still, I mean, if you take 60 games away, yes, that's a lot. Mm-hmm. However, you still played 100 games plus playoffs. You did, you earned it. You still
You know what?
It.
I do think 100 games, now that I'm thinking about it, that would do it. I'm more worried as if they start in like August, do August, September playoffs in October. And then it's like, oh, you had a good month. And then you.
Yeah, I agree there. Because like, then the Marlins could make it.
Yeah. Okay. Was there a second point to that?
To the.
No, it was the doubleheaders. That was, you already told me.
Okay. Yeah. Which I don't like the doubleheaders as much, but.
No,
I like the idea of doubleheaders if that fills in games. I don't like the idea of seven inning doubleheaders.
Yeah. No, that's silly.
Even though the players are the ones that are asking for that.
Probably. Yeah. I'll tell you, I enjoyed that a lot more than. When I was younger, and then when we would have to do nine.
Yeah, they just want to play, so I can't blame them. And Manfred hopes, he said they will play this year, no matter what. And he hopes that they are part of the recovery from all this. Yeah, I do too.
I feel like catchers should get to decide things like that, like seven versus nine innings. I feel like they should.
That'd be interesting. I understand what you're saying. Yeah,
because they're the ones taking the real wear and tear. The pitchers, whatever. Position players, that stinks. But you're not the ones. I mean, the catchers have it the worst. Be like, hey, how much do you think you guys can go? Like, what are you guys feeling?
Yeah, I don't know. I just want baseball back, man. Like, it's supposed to. It would have been starting tomorrow.
Yep.
Like, it hurts so much. I would have been watching Red Sox baseball tomorrow, and here I am. Not knowing when the next game will be played for anything. Like, I literally just want, I wouldn't mind if the NBA came back. That's how much I just want sports back.
I actually, just out of boredom, started watching a lot of NBA right before the Corona nonsense. I don't know why, but like.
I thought you were going to tell me you watched the NASCAR thing on Sunday.
Sure didn't.
It was like. It was kind of cool, but that's besides the point. I watched like videos of it after. Anyways, okay, let's move on to Chris Sale. Do you have much to say about Chris Sale?
Yeah, well, so here's the thing. He's getting Tommy John surgery, but the interesting little wrinkle, as you mentioned a little bit earlier, is that you can't have orthopedic surgery right now because of the coronavirus, so he hasn't even gotten the surgery yet, and that might delay him like 2 months. Like, if we're talking about, I don't know how long. You know, they keep saying the peak is coming, but I feel like, you know, they've said that for weeks and it hasn't really hit yet, which is a problem because in a way, like if the peak was right now, we'd get through it in 2 weeks. But I mean, they might not be doing orthopedic surgeries in April or May. Like we don't know when he's going to get and then obviously it's a 12 to 15 month recovery usually. So if he got it the day it was talked about, we're looking at like 2021 June, July-ish, like roughly the All-Star break. We might be talking about like 2021 just out of the question because of the coronavirus.
Yeah, he might miss two full seasons because of the coronavirus.
Yeah,
it's what's so ironic about the Sale thing is because we all kept saying it was gonna happen, and then they're like, nah, he's getting thrown again. Literally the day before, this was the day that we recorded last week. The day after, right. They go, Chris Sale's getting Tommy John. I was like, excuse me, what?
Yeah, we could have told you that.
You tried to tell me that he was okay, he doesn't need surgery, he's not recommended surgery. This guy instantly throws again. No, he doesn't need it. Like, it's terrible.
Like, do you think they were like he threw the ball and then he was just like, or they came back and they were like, it hurt again. It's the fifth time. It hurt his elbow. Every time he throws the ball, it hurts. I guess you guys were right. We thought just like a week off would do it, but his arm still hurts. I figured if he sat there, maybe, you know, some Epsom salt on that thing, I don't know, it would have been good by now. We put a bionic device on his elbow to read his elbow. I don't really know what that was supposed to do. It still hurts.
I feel like we could have decided this after the 2018 World Series, but who am I to kid, huh?
We talked about literally the day before, like he got it, like you said, was our last show. And we were talking about like how many games do you think he plays? And we're like, we're going to operate as if he's not. And then maybe he'll surprise
me. Sad. When we were previewing the season on the Red Sox episode, I said, I don't think Chris Sale will make 30 more starts within like the next 2 years.
As a Red Sox is what you said.
Yeah. Oh, as a Red Sox. Thank you.
Under the current contract, you said.
Right, which is, like, terrifying, but, like, I don't know anymore.
Honestly, this surgery probably gives him the best shot to do so.
Yeah, it sure does. I mean, I see, this is what I expected. I expected him to start the season.
Yeah.
Something bad go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Him get hurt. Then get Tommy John. I was assuming that takes out 2 seasons.
Which it might anyway, by the way.
It might anyway. I did not expect it to go this way.
For sure.
I didn't expect him to... Okay, I expected the surgery. I didn't expect him to get shut down, brought back to life, then shut down the next day, told to get it. I didn't expect coronavirus to suspend the surgery for who knows how long. So, like, yeah, the 30 starts in this contract take, probably not great for the remaining. I probably was a bit rough on the edges, but, like, I feel like I could feel very confident if I said 50.
I disagree. I don't think you back down from that take now. I think you're feeling good.
I'm not backing down. I'm keeping it.
No, but I'm saying you're bumping up to 50. I think the 30 was not... I mean, look, we just lost 33 starts this year, and we're losing at least 20 next year, I would say.
Yeah.
Most likely.
More. I want to be wrong on this one.
Of course you do. But I
don't
just
think I'm going to be.
I think this is the time to double down, not try and extend it to 50.
I'm just saying, like, the safer guess would have probably been 50.
Yeah, that's for sure.
That would have been, like very believable. But yeah. I'm going to stick with 30. I hope he gets, like, way over 30, pitches into his 40s, filthy, and all that good stuff, but it ain't going to happen.
You know what sucks for you is that because he's going to miss 1 to 2 years, or 1.5 to 2 years, this is going to have to be the take that you die on, and you don't even want to root for it, but, like, this is going to be, like, your take, where it's, like, like we're going to be talking about this as long as we do the show while Chris Sale is in Red Sox uniform.
If it matters, I'll probably make enough takes between now and then that will probably have more takes to judge myself on. But yeah, this one's going to last a long time.
Right. I just think this one's going to come up a lot. And I think it actually it's quite an interesting conversation as much as we might not want to have it. Like, I think that is an interesting talking point.
Well, I can't wait till the Patriots get their next franchise quarterback so I can make a ridiculous statement on that too.
Well, we already have it. Jared Stidham.
Yeah. More like Stidham.
Well, we'll find out.
Oh, so Noah Syndergaard also not healthy.
Yeah, he's in the same boat. He's in the wait and see boat.
Yeah, and I'm sad about Noah Syndergaard. He was so good at one time, and then he got hurt, and then he got hurt again. Then he got hurt again.
Yeah, but this might be good because...
maybe he'll get hurt less.
It's one of those things once they... like, this is almost like a nagging thing. I mean, granted, this guy gets every... he got that flu thing that nobody gets anymore.
Oh, hand mouth surgery or whatever?
Not surgery.
Virus?
Disease, maybe?
Sure.
Foot and mouth disease?
Yes, that's what it was.
Yeah, he gets stuff, it somehow lands stuff like that, but but a lot of his injuries have been arm-related, so he might actually come out of this thing healthier. And I think he's 27 right now, maybe 28.
He was going to be entering his 27th season. Well done.
Thank you.
He's filthy, by the way.
Yeah, good at pitch.
When he's healthy, he is so good.
Yep.
But he hasn't been healthy since 2016. Okay, he started 32 games last year.
Did he really?
Yeah, he was not good.
Sneaky.
4.28 ERA.
Yikes. In the NL, too.
Yeah. 202 strikeouts, though.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. Played for the Mets.
Did he?
Yeah. Not always great.
How about it?
But in 2016, he was an all-star, 2.60 ERA, 183 innings, 218 strikeouts, 14-9. Like, that was when, was that when they went to the World Series?
I thought that was, wait, what did you just say, 16?
I said 16.
Yes. No, fit.
They had the four-armed.
No, it wouldn't have had to have been.
2016. It went to 2016. I just looked it up.
But I thought the Giants had the 2-4-6.
No, they had 10, 2, 4.
2, 4.
Yeah.
So.
It was Royals Mets.
So it was 2015?
No. Yes, 2015.
Okay, yeah, because the Royals faced the Giants the first time.
Right.
And then they beat the Mets. That's why I was confused.
That is so wild, by the way. The Royals just made it to two straight World Series, and no one talks about it at all.
And that was one of my favorite non-Red Sox teams to watch.
They were awesome.
Ever.
Lokane, Hosmer, Moustakas, Wade Davis.
Ventura, RIP.
Oh, Giordano.
Yeah, he was nasty.
I loved him.
They had that triple-headed threat at the bullpen. What they call them? The three-headed?
Monster?
I don't
know. Dogs? I don't know. Calvin Herrera, Wade.
We both just rattled those two off and then just stopped. Who? Calvin
Herrera.
Wade Davis. See if you can get the nickname, too.
Oh, it was three-headed monster. Okay.
Yep.
That was believable. Greg Holland.
Right.
He was the damn closer.
Yeah. Those three were insane.
Greg Holland was so good. Wade Davis was better, don't get me wrong. But
yeah. And then Herrera was kind of like the third guy.
Herrera threw flames, dude. He was so good for so many years.
Yep.
Ah, Wade Davis, yeah, he was out of this world. He's terrible now, but, you know, whatever. Oh, my God, so that 2015 season, he had a 0.94 ERA.
Dude, looking at, so obviously I've done nothing but play the show lately, and looking at some of the elite receiver, closer years, I don't know why I said receiver, whatever. I looked at Kirby Yates' numbers and, like, I'm going off with Kirby Yates, but it's hard to match. He had a 1.19 ERA last year. Like, I think I'm 11 for 12 on save opportunities, and I ended up winning the game in a walk-off, so he got the win, but he still gets the blown save. He only blew, like, three saves last season. He was, like, 41 for 44 or something like that.
Yeah, Kirby Yates is quietly just one of the best relievers in baseball. And
well, because
he plays
he's one of those. He was one of those Koji types that had their peak at like 32. And you're like, yeah. Oh.
Yeah, Koji was even older, which is scarier.
Yeah, Koji was like 50.
But just listen to these 2 years. These are the 2 years that the Royals went to the World Series. So in 2014, he had a one exact ERA, one run ERA, 1.00. Okay.
Yep.
33 holds. That's
great.
I feel like holds are a disrespected stat.
Oh, super. Because it's one of those things where it's like you can get a hold for – you can come in, walk a guy, and then get pulled. And if you didn't give up the lead, you get a hold. But there are also guys like Matt Barnes who set up Kimbrel, and his holds were huge. I mean, because it was basically just like I mean, the whole point of a hold is to keep the win in line for the save.
Right, right. So, I love holds.
I mean, I'm not a guy that looks at holds at the end of the year, but I definitely – maybe it's the pitcher in me, but I do appreciate that stat.
It's a cool thing to look back on like we are right now because we don't have anything else to do in this sports world.
I
got to
say, I didn't expect a Wade Davis segment for sure.
Oh, yeah, well, his 2015 season, he did both. 18 holds, 17 saves because, you know, why not? Why not? And then he got made into a closer the next year, and I guess he was okay. He, you know, 27 saves. 1.87 ERA, though. Crazy.
All right, so I think that's enough of him. Let's talk about Todd Gurley being released and then signing with the Falcons.
Yeah, that was wild, huh? I love it, though.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is the Rams did the thing where they forgot that the future was going to happen, and they signed a bunch of people, and then now they're in a really bad financial situation, and they were just like, we're going to have to cut Gurley because his knee stinks.
Well, they do have the worst starting quarterback in the NFL.
Okay.
When it comes to money, the worst starting quarterback.
Yeah, they paid him way too much. I completely agree with that.
To be incredibly average for the rest of his career.
Yeah, they could have gotten Andy Dalton to do the same thing.
And I hate his spiral, but that's just a complaint, personal complaint for me.
I love Jared Stidham. I mean, Goff is a person. I've watched a lot of Jared Stidham today, like a ton of it.
I'm sorry.
You know, it's one of those. I went in excited because I was like all in, and I left like, damn it, like, yeah, he's all right. He's okay. We'll see. I watch like highlight reels to get myself excited, but watching the actual film, it's like, wow, he is.
Highlight reels are supposed to do exactly that.
Yeah, no, I understand the purpose, but I usually will do that, but I expected to be excited by the film and write this article about how great he was, and then I was like, you know what, I got more cons than pros here. I don't love that.
You're not going to love this attack at you, but highlight reels make Tavon Austin look like the best player of all time.
Okay, yeah, that's, well, so does his film and the rest of it. And the fact that you went 8th overall. Only one on YouTube. That's the best highlight reel you'll ever find in any sport.
Great running back in Madden, though.
Oh, dude, yeah. His overall jumps up like 12 points.
Yeah, but that's pretty funny. I had to say that because I remember we've had like a long conversation about Tavon Austin being filthy in highlight reels.
Dude, is there a more highlightable person? I mean,
are we just talking football?
No, let's open it up.
Nolan Arenado's a pretty good highlight reel. Ever watch it?
Which one?
All of them.
So here's what annoys me about baseball is that baseball had Baseball Vault and From Sports, and the MLB has just killed them both.
Yeah, it's sad.
So because they just don't want them to make highlight reels of their sport and grow their game, which drives me nuts.
What a terrible like reasoning, but it's so true.
Baseball highlights have a weird problem. You know, it's funny. We'll talk about Jacoby Ellsbury at some point for a very long period of time on the show, I'd hope. But next week. I got really into the 2013 Red Sox lately because I just rewatched a bunch of that stuff. And I watched every highlight in the book, like I told you. What I forgot to tell you was that for some reason, outside of this one 2013 highlight, they put together these really cool highlights. You can hear – I love when they have the announcers, the crack of the bat, and music. You can't do either. Like, the music without the crack of the bat in the announcements just doesn't get the hype up as much. And if you don't have music, it's just boring to watch and get excited about. They do a good job of mixing those. However, for some weird reason, they pick the worst songs. Like, they'll pick these, like – they'll put, like, Jacoby Ellsbury 2011 highlights where he steals 70 bases with, like, a breakup Taylor Swift song or something. And you're like, What is, I can't get excited about this when you do that. It just drives me nuts. Go look at Jacoby Ellsbury highlight reels, because I know you have time, and just listen to the music. It's nuts.
Fine, fine. I'll watch a Jacoby Ellsbury highlight reel. Fine. Twist my arm. God.
I love that guy.
Yeah, he's really good. But back to Todd Gurley. Do you like his spot on the Falcons?
I was annoyed because I was like, I wanted him to either go to the the Patriots or the Bucs. At this point, I'm just like, let's just make a super team over there in Tampa.
Yeah, and I want him to go to the Bucs.
I also, like, I think it would be cool if we got two degenerative knees on the same team, same backfield.
I think he's going to be nasty, actually.
Oh, yeah, I know. I completely agree. It was just kind of like a weird spot, but yeah.
Well, Georgia.
What was that you get out there, pal?
Georgia. That's why he went there.
That's true.
Most of the reason he went there. He's made that pretty clear, actually.
That's cool.
He went home, which I respect. Like, I liked it a lot, and I think Todd Gurley still has plenty left in the tank, you know, considering he's 25 years old.
Oh, yeah. No, I completely agree. I mean, he was an animal last year. They just didn't want to use him. And basically what they did was they did this fun thing. They were like, well, we're going to use him when it matters. And then they didn't have enough wins to get to the point where it mattered. And then late in the season, they made him actually play football, and he was really good. But it was way too late. They dug themselves into too big of a hole. So if they just played him the first 10 weeks of the season, we would have had a completely different outlook.
People definitely don't talk about the fact he had 14 touchdowns.
Yeah, but the problem was that he didn't have the carries he needed, and that's not his fault.
He had 223, which, yeah, it's not enough.
Yep. All right, let's talk about Cam Newton.
I'm sad.
Chargers, I guess?
I mean, Chargers makes the most sense, unless he got signed by the Patriots, which isn't going to happen.
But the thing is, I think they're going to go with Tyrod and then draft Herbert. Like, that's what I've always expected them to do. I'm assuming, well, at least since Brady not going there. I mean, I guess they could do Cam for a year and do the same thing, but, like, then you got Tyrod there and you're in kind of a weird...
I would love Cam in the Chargers, on the Chargers. I'd actually like that a lot.
I also think I kind of want to see... Nah, I love Gardner, but
Would Vegas be a crazy thought? That's never gonna register in my head.
Yeah, no, I'll never fix that. you know, no, I don't think it's crazy, but I don't think it'll happen either. What about Denver? Do we like Denver?
No, I think I like Drew Lock, actually.
I see. I'm not a Drew Lock guy.
They like Drew Lock, and I think they've come out and said that. But I wouldn't mind him in Denver, because I like that. I like what they're building up there personally on that team. But
it's just tough when you have Patrick Mahomes in your division for the next 15 years at least.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Cam needs to show the world that he can still do something.
Yeah, I agree. I think LA might be the best fit for him.
Let me think of one more team.
Yeah, Miami's
always an option.
Yeah, but they got a bunch of those guys, you know? Like, are they going to do with...
I like their team this year, though.
Yeah,
I'd give up on Darnold and get him on the Jets, but that's just me.
I think I said last show that he stinks.
Darnold?
Yeah.
That's totally agreeable. Remember when we had that fight with that kid in class about Darnold being better than Baker Mayfield?
Oh, sure do. Although, I got to say, last year didn't help our case, but it didn't help his either.
No. I mean, one of them said, I'm seeing ghosts, and the other one was just bad with a really talented roster.
How do we feel about Pittsburgh with Big Ben maybe being his last year, plus always being injured?
I kind of like that. Like, if he has to be a backup for a team with, like, get some seasoning, that's not a bad option.
I think the next guy on the list is actually going to be...
Next team?
Actually, I could see the Steelers going with anyone on this list besides Andy Dalton.
Oh, absolutely. I'm upset about this next guy. We can move
Me
on.
Me too. Here's the thing. I've never wanted Jameis Winston on my team, which is the next guy. But
I mean, I put my heart and soul into him to the Patriots last week.
I think he's a starter somewhere, like for a bad team.
I put my heart and soul into Jameis Winston being the next option. And I don't know why. I just like the guy. Always have, always will. And I don't think he's that bad.
I think you would not like him on your team after four games.
I mean, I'm not liking what we have right now, so we'll see.
How do we feel?
If I'm
okay. Jameis Winston joins the Lions, and they just get an absolute air raid. Kind of like how the DC Defenders went with Cardale Jones and Tyree Jackson. They were just like, I want two guys that if I blink and they switch positions, I won't even notice.
That would be wild. But okay, so hear me out. Hear me out. I think Matt Stafford could be a playoff quarterback on any team besides the Lions.
Yeah, I mean, I love Matt Stafford.
Like, if I could, I'd go tell Bill Belichick to go trade for Stafford right now.
Oh, dude, in a heartbeat. I completely agree with you. I've always been big on Matt Stafford.
And then they could just draft Tua and have their future if they want to call Tua their future.
Yeah, we'll just do that.
Like, feed me Matt Stafford on the Patriots. He can make these scrub wide receivers and Edelman very good.
How would you feel, and this won't happen because of contracts and such, but what about a Jacoby Brissett reunion? I'd be pretty excited about that.
I would too, but they cut Brian Hoyer to keep Jacoby Brissett.
Also, good point. And like I said, I mean, he's getting paid like $21 million, and we don't even have – we have like seven, so.
I actually believe this Matt Stafford thing could happen. I'm talking myself back into this. We're not leaving this topic. Hear me out.
Okay, hold on. Let me just say – so in this scenario,
yes,
are the Lions drafting Tua?
Probably, yeah.
Because that's probably the only way that they would do that.
They would have to be drafting Tua.
And I just don't think it's going to happen, like, any chance.
I don't, but say they're drafted Tua, right? They're moving on from Matt Stafford. Matty Patricia's probably still on speed dial for Bill because he's probably not all high tech and stuff. Doesn't update.
They made a trade like last week, of course.
Exactly, for Daron Harmon. Not a great trade, but that's besides the point. He's like, hey, Matt, what are you gonna do with your other Matthew there? And he's gonna be like, well, I don't know. We're looking for a new suitor for him. We kind of want to dump his contract off, which isn't that big anyways. And Bill's like, I'll take him off your hands. How about a fifth round pick?
Wait, why did he just become Italian?
Because I became Italian. That's not the point here. And then, like, hear me out. We have Matt Stafford as a starting quarterback. N'Keal Harry becomes a wide receiver too in fantasy. Julian Edelman keeps his value because if you remember, Matt Stafford and Golden Tate was a great combination back in the day. What else?
I just want to say, you don't have to sell me on Matt Stafford. I love Matt Stafford. He would throw for 5,000 yards with us, and we wouldn't even need an offense.
Right, exactly. We draft Thaddeus Moss. I'm just naming like fun things here, making this team fun for 2020.
I love Thaddeus Moss. Didn't Thaddeus Moss get hurt?
No. He did get hurt in the championship game, but he's good to go.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's my plan.
Great.
Matt Stafford. Or, you know what, Jameis Winston could also just sign with the Lions if they think that's a better option, like you said.
Oh, okay. Thaddeus Moss needs foot surgery after combine. I thought he got hurt at the combine.
Still want him.
Hey, that's not what I said. I still want him as well.
Andy Dalton, where's he going?
I think he's staying, honestly, at this point.
Yeah, I saw that and got terrified. I was like, oh, that's unfair to him.
I think he stays a Bengal. I think here's what I'm going with, okay? Winston, Steelers. Newton, Chargers. Blake Bortles, also Steelers. I don't know. I just feel like Blake Bortles has been compared to Big Ben for so long that that's going to happen at some point.
All right. Let me do my
– Ooh.
Oh, my God.
Wait.
I'm waiting.
Blake Bortles, Eagles.
I like that.
The Eagles' backup is guaranteed 6 to 8 starts.
Yeah, that's true. And Blake Bortles is filthy, so. What?
Okay, you go.
Okay, so Cam Newton, Chargers. We're in agreement on that one. Jameis Winston, Dolphins.
Wild.
Yeah, Andy Dalton, Bengals. Blake Bortles, Eagles. I like that one. The Eagles was a really good one. That was really believable. I was like, they brought Josh McCown back. Blake Bortles can't be worse than that. They brought him out of retirement to do that.
Sure did.
I feel like
a guy like Josh McCown's got to be like, you know what? I think I'm done. And then somebody goes, some GM calls and he goes, hey, we'll pay you $2 million if you sit on the bench every day. And he goes, yeah, that sounds pretty good.
You know what's funny about McCown? He almost won them that playoff game with like a torn ACL.
I was just going to say, yeah, you got to remember that. I think it was a torn hamstring.
It was bad. Yeah, that sounds right.
It was a season ender for sure.
I don't know about you, but have you ever hurt your hamstring?
Pulled it.
I've pulled it. That hurts.
Oh.
Tearing it? Yeah, see you later. I'm done.
Yeah, I agree.
I have nothing else to say about that. That was a good little boom boom, because hopefully one of them will be signed by the next show.
Yeah, I think we'll see you next week. That's really all I have to say.
Well, you usually question, do real this. Quick, real quick. Okay. Do you think Cam Newton has enough left in the tank?
I think Cam Newton goes to the right place. I certainly don't think he is like physically like regressed. I don't think age is a big factor here. I do think it's more just the fact that he was massively overhyped out of college, and then he had so much success because of his physical abilities. But I think as far as a quarterback, like, he's still plenty talented, definitely a starting caliber quarterback.
Can he be a Pro Bowl quarterback again? Not MVP, because that's absurd. That year was absurd.
I don't think he would be an original Pro Bowler, but he could make it in the, you know, when the first five guys say they can't make it. Because it's one of those things with the Pro Bowl, I mean, there is a stack, you know, like you got, barring injury, you got Mahomes, Brady, Breeze. Like, there's a group of guys that are just like named in the preseason. And I don't think he could crack into that group. But then when two of those guys go to the Super Bowl and, you know, half of Tom Brady says, hey, I can't because I don't want to. And then those guys leave. I could see it.
That sounds fair. I'm with you there. So this was Around the Diamond, broadcasting live from our respective basements. I'm Scott Edwards.
I'm not. I'm on the second floor.
That's tough. All right, let me redo that. This was Around the Diamond, broadcasting live from our homes in our respective residence. Mm-hmm. I'm Scott Edwards.
I'm Scott Neville.
And who knows? Maybe we'll see you next week.
Bye.
The kings of our little towns, if there's a rebel around, you know it's gonna be one of us. We're right at home in the wild, can't help it, that's our style. Born and bred to be dangerous. We might roll on Saturday night, get that look in our eyes, and we're striking like lightning. Some may say we're too loud, some may say we're too proud. Well, there's lambs and there's lions.
I had a phone in.